Welcome to another special episode of the Chicago Bullseye. We have the legendary dynamic duel of the Ball Podcast on the show today. Big Dave of the Bulls Outsiders, C-Dub. They'll be talking all things beloved Bull. Keith Franz and I are bringing you two of my favorite Bulls podcasting superstars and these guys. If you haven't listened to Ball, check it out. It's B-A-W-L. You can also see Big Dave on Bulls Outsiders after every game on NBC Comcast. I highly recommend checking that out. So we'll get to this interview shortly. You know, briefly, I have received a ton of requests for another Gigawater story, that cover band that I was a part of for almost a decade before our career ended at the hands of that midget wrestler. I'll share with you a relatively brief one today. It was our first quasi-holiday gig a few days before Christmas. And unfortunately, all I tell you going forward is true. I won't tell you the date, but it was around the turn of the century. So this occurred early in our career, well before I started acting responsibly, before I met my wife. And we signed a contract to play at Joe Bailey's, which was located at 108th and Western in Chicago. I think it was the Beverly neighborhood. It's not there anymore. I think there's a store there now. So this place, I think, has been torn down in the interim. But early in our careers, we played there a lot. It was awesome. This show in particular was insane. The place was packed. Crowd was always into it when we played there, but this one was at another level, just insane. So we played in a corner of the bar, on the floor. There was no stage there, with nothing between us and the crowd but our sound monitors. And for those of you who don't know, sound monitors look like amplifiers. They're just put on the ground in front of you so you can hear yourself singing and you know you're in tune. So we're playing and we're just killing it. I noticed this incredibly beautiful young woman, you know, 21-ish, I guess. She's about 20 feet away at a table, and she's staring at me, just staring a hole through me. And with this, she kind of looked like, I thought she looked Salma Hayek-ish. And if you know Salma Hayek, I mean, that is insane. So she was the kind of woman that inspires you to run out to the local forest to write some poetry, you know, while you sit next to a tree by a pond. She was just that beautiful, and she's wearing a Bulls shirt. And I am like, on cloud nine. It was kind of common at that time to wear Bulls shirts, and it was kind of in the wake of the title teams still at that point. And I thought, man, this is huge. This is like a journey video. And she was with her group of friends, and I was reading her lips, and she kept on saying, I love this song, and I love this band. And I could tell she was falling for Freddie and Gigawater. And, you know, things are really progressing well. So we're playing, and we hit the money set. Now, the money set is our bass player, Dave Hernandez, developed this money set. It's a set of songs that usually make the crowd really amp up and go crazy, and a lot of dance and a lot of singing along, and things really, you know, a set of songs that really resonate with the crowd. And those songs are like, you know, Pretty Woman, Money Money, Brown Eyed Girl, Land of a Thousand Dances, Rock This Town, Jumpin' Jack Flash, and I think we always closed with American Pie. And the whole bar is going nuts, singing along, dancing, beer everywhere, flying in the air. People are just going crazy. And the only song I sing lead on in that set is Rock This Town. And so I go up to sing, and I look right at her, and I'm just trying to keep time here. And, you know, I start saying, oh, my baby and me went out last Saturday night. And I just winked at her. And she immediately blew me a kiss, and I felt like I was kicked in the chest by a mule. I mean, I think My voice just started cracking. I think I went up 2 octaves. Yeah. You know, just it was like Peter Brady. You know, just it was insane. And so, as Paul McCartney put it, man, this she looked way beyond compare. Just incredible evening. And so we got through that song. We go on American Pie, finish the set, and after we're done, she points at me with her index finger and just like beckons me to come over sit next to her. And I'm just trying to keep it cool. And I just gave her like a look. Like, yeah, I'll be there in a bit. Yeah. But inside, I wanted to do like a full Jim Boylan wind sprint over there. But I just, I took it cool. I tuned my guitar, put it down on the stand, signed a few autographs, talked with a few people. But now I'm ready. I'm ready to go talk to her. Here's the moment. I'm going to come over there. So I go to step over the monitor. And just as a one side note, our act at this time, we were wearing those Reservoir Dogs. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie. Everybody go online and check it out, Reservoir Dogs. I was wearing the Reservoir Dogs outfit. So we had to wear dress shoes. And dress shoes were extremely, and these specific dress shoes were extremely slippery. So these stupid shoes combined with the beer on the floor, you know, and let's take another step back here. We had maybe 200 gigs over the years. I was super cool in 99, maybe 98% of them. Outside of the time I got beat up by the midget wrestler. So being clumsy wasn't a common occurrence. It wasn't an occurrence for me. But out of all the times to slip, it's got to happen here. So I go to step over the monitor. My foot slips. And I'm airborne, man. I'm literally airborne. I've never slipped half that bad before or after since. If you ever seen that famous pic of Rodman diving fully stretched out, that's how I was, except my back was facing the ground and my face was facing the ceiling. I even remember thinking that this is going to hurt. And I fall, and a quarter of my back hits the monitor, and that thing isn't made out of Nerf. I mean, that hurts. And then my head hits the ground, and I see stars. I think I almost blacked out. I've got like a full-blown concussion going, and my kidney feels like it's been knocked up into my throat. So I don't know how long I was on the ground, but it seemed like probably about a year. And some guys came over, helped me up. My pants, the back of my pants are now soaked in beer. It was just a full-fledged disaster. I'm concussed. I'm not in a state where you want to talk or even try to impress a woman. And I sure didn't even get a chance to talk to her, because by the time I was coherent, we had to start the third set. So why do I tell this story? Do you not see the similarities between that event and this bowl season? There was so much promise. Things were setting up perfectly. Lori, Levine, Dunn, Parker, things were looking so good this offseason with this team. How good Wendell Carter Jr. looked in the summer league. And then from the first moment of training camp, from that first step out, Lori gets hurt, and a subsequent disaster, Dunn gets hurt. It's just like my holiday gig. And as an aside, and this girl did sign up for the mailing list, we had a brief torrid romance, but she was not remotely enjoyable to speak with. She wasn't even really a Bulls fan. She just liked the shirt. You know, she hated the Beatles. She hated all the Rocky movies. She didn't like Elvis. All she liked doing was talking about fashion, her job as a hairstylist, and Ally McBeal. That awful TV show, Ally McBeal. I'd spend like half our dates running through potential Bulls trades in my head. You know, why she talked about Ally McBeal episodes. Oh my God. So big picture, all these great things that I had built up in my head, they were all for naught. Just an epic disaster. And I hope you can see quite a few of the similarities between our first holiday gig and this bowl season. So on to the interview now with the great Big Dave and C-Dub of Ball. That's B-A-W-L. Happy holidays, and thanks for listening to Chicago Bullseye. We'll talk again soon.
Hi, this is Neil Funk, and you're listening to Frick on the Chicago Bullseye.
Hello, this is Nate Friedel, and you're listening to Frick on the Chicago Bullseye. Hi, this is Chuck Swirsky, and you're listening to Frick on the Chicago Bullseye.
We do have issues galore. Let's start out, though, with the big issue kind of at hand. Let's get a little bit into Boylan. What's your impressions? Let's start out with you, C-Dub. Your impressions of Boylan so far in his young tenure as head coach for the beloved Bull?
Man, the first thing I think of is that personally, I'm okay with the hard-nosed kind of knock around the guys, see what you got kind of thing, because I know he got the director from the front office. Mm-hmm. But I'm a little disappointed in the fact that he's been in the league for years and he didn't foresee any kind of problems. Like, you know, it would be different if he was a young coach and he tried to, shake up the guys with hard practices and didn't expect, you know, the team to sort of, you know, rally against it. But to be just a veteran coach and to say those things in the media, like calling the players in the media, it just seemed like you should know better. You've been in the league for years. You should know how players are and how to react. You know what I'm saying? To like you criticize them in the media. That's something like I'm a little surprised by that. Like it's a little bit naive when it comes to that. But I think it's still early. But that's a big disappointment to me. I still want to wait and see kind of thing. I know like Big Dave said, as far as team being young, he's young. As a head coach, everyone's young. The only people who are not young is the front office. They're old. They've been around. We know what they do. The coaches are young as far as being a head coach in the league. The players are young. I'm still in a wait and see attitude. I still think he could be a good coach. You see, you know, he's been around the league for quite some time. A little disappointed in how he started off, of course, you know, with the players. But I'm open to see what happens down the road. I'm not too down on him yet. We still have plenty of time to go.
Well, it looks like such amateur hour right now. I understand the reflex reaction to go from a player's coach who doesn't have any hand in the locker room to go to this guy who's, you know, basically a high school coach. He's going to run wind sprints during the season, all that nonsense. But you're right. You kind of touched on what really bothers me is you've been sitting on a bench for how many years now, and you don't understand. You can't foresee that there could potentially be problems with handling a team that way. You know, I guess he was probably emboldened by PAX and emboldened by the front office to lay down a heavy hand, but it really backfired to the point where, you know, you have two guys suggesting that you don't show up to practice on Sunday. I think it's just a travesty. To that end, I want to follow up, and Keith, we'll get to you in 1 second, with my opinion, which is one of the worst things that was rarely talked about. On what planet is it acceptable for two leaders of the team to encourage, you know, teammates not to show up and to actually threaten a fine with these guys who all probably make less money than Levine, that if you show up to practice, I'm going to fine you? I think that's a horrible, horrible example, horrible leadership. And I don't know if it's true yet, but if it was Levine, I've lost faith in him as a leader. And I'm at the point now where I'd be open to trading him. Let's start out with you, Big Dave. We'll go to Keith and then back to C-Dub on this. Would you be open to trading Zach LaVine for, let's say, an Ingram with the Lakers or maybe for someone else? Or do you feel like that he is still a solid part of the core? Big Dave.
If you're trading him for Ingram, yeah, I'll make that trade. But the problem was thinking that Zach LaVine was your leader. Like, that's your problem right there. Zach LaVine is not a number one. We never, Chris and I have had this discussion 1,000 times. We never thought he was the number one. He's always was the number two in our eyes. And Laurie was the one we were like, is the number one guy. He's the one that we're looking at. So if you're looking at Zach LaVine, like he's the leader of this team or something like that, then yeah, you're going to get what you saw. You're going to get a guy who's never been in that situation in college. He wasn't in that situation in Minnesota. And to come here and think he's going to be in the situation to be your leader. No, I never had that kind of, I never put that on him. You know, I never looked at him in that way. So, yeah, it was ridiculous when I found that out, though, Fred. When I found out it's still allegedly, but you know, things like that. But when I heard he was involved in that, you know, about finding guys, you know, who want to show up and play, I was too upset. I was extra upset at him for that. And
did you hear that was him? Did you hear that was him, Dave? I'm sorry to interrupt you, but did you hear that was him?
It's alleged that it was him. I can't confirm that, you know, it was him or not. But when they say that, from the things they said, who else would tell you something like that?
Yeah.
Like, that's how I was looking at it. Who else would say something like that that guys would listen to? And for me, the only guy that you would say that would listen to is either two guys. It's either him or Lori. And we heard what Lori said, and Lori's answer was perfect. Lori was like, listen, I think it's disrespectful for us to not show up. Like, we got other people who come in an hour away and they got to come here. Like, I think it's disrespectful to even look them in the eye and say, no, we're not showing up, you know? So that was his response. I got what he felt. So now I'm just playing, you know, I'm just looking at Zach. Like, it just seemed like he would be the one to me. But yeah, Fred, I hated it. I hated every part of it. I thought it was ridiculous. I thought that was the wrong way to handle the situation. Again, it's everybody's fault. Like, the coach's reaction was terrible. I don't like how the front office would put them in that situation at anything. I don't like anything about it. So everybody gets criticized, but we're specifically talking about Zach right now. So, yeah, I was very upset that he allegedly did this to the team. And, yeah, you going to give me Ingram? Oh, yeah, I'd make that trade in a heartbeat.
I agree 100%. Hey, Keith, let's go to you on this. Are you open to trading him? I know you're a big backer of LaVine, and you've been a big supporter of him. Do you feel like, hey, that this move could potentially – do you agree with me that, hey, it's shaking my faith in Zach LaVine and I'd be open to trading him?
It doesn't matter who's open to trading Zach LaVine, though. He has a trade veto, and he cannot be traded until January 15th. So unlike Nico last year, who had a trade veto, if the team didn't want to pick up his second-year option, Zach just has the power to veto any trade. No, I don't think he'd veto a trade to the Lakers. I'm sure as soon as rumors start swirling that they're going to trade him, he'd probably decline his trade value rather quickly and just, nope, I don't want to go there. Nope, I don't want to go there. And he would really hinder the Bulls on what they would be able to get in a return.
Wait, he's got a veto until the 15th? Are you saying
he has a trade? He has a permanent trade veto in his contract, which could be another thing that kind of comes back to bite the front office on letting him get the offer sheet from the Kings instead of working something out with them on his own.
I wasn't aware of that, and that's ridiculous. I had no idea. Were you guys aware of that, Dave C-Dub?
No, that's news to me.
Are you sure about this, Keith?
I bought a subscription to the ESPN Plus, and Bobby Marks, in his notes, says Zach LaVine cannot be traded until January 15th, and he has the power to veto any trade.
Oh, my God. Well, that pretty much, yeah, I mean, yeah, that pretty much, we made our bed with Zach LaVine then, because that's not going to happen, and I don't think the front office would even go to the lengths of discussing a trade for fear of, you know, screwing up their relationship with them. And but that's very, very disappointing, and I'm shocked to hear that. So you're saying Sacramento probably put that in the contract?
Exactly, because he signed the offer sheet with them, so as well as the protection that they have on a re-injury to his same knee that had the ACL. Apparently, he worked in a veto into his trade, so we got a Carmelo Anthony situation on our hands, essentially.
C-Dub, has this incident with him shaken your faith in Zach LaVine? I mean, and would you be open to moving him, provided he accepts it?
When I heard what happened, when I initially heard that they didn't want to go to practice and, you know, about paying gas, I was disappointed in the players. I didn't even think about bowling. My first thought, like, I don't want a guy who's the leader of my team, or guys, leaders of my team, not wanting to practice after a 50-point blowout, especially in 2018 and 2000. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Like you don't, you know, the minor games they play, the back-to-backs. If there's a year in the NBA to play, to practice after a 50-point win on a Sunday, it is 2018, because it's like the players get so many benefits of, you know, just like not working hard. You know, I'm like, I was just so disappointed. I don't know if I was he's still young. I don't know. They mentioned the fact that we kind of didn't see him as number one. We didn't see him as number one, but I'm not as high on marketing as number one as Dave is. I still want to see. That's why this season I want to see if I see special in marketing. It's kind of there. But I don't know if the Bulls with marketing and LaVine have true number ones, and that could be truly detrimental because you're a young team, man. You cannot go to the deep in the playoffs with number two, number threes on your team. We had Jimmy Butler with number two, right. 2.5, elite on your team. And you just can't get deep in the playoffs. So you just beg. You beg that LaVine and marketing can't be number ones. As far as trading him, I'm disappointed in LaVine. I didn't go to trade him. I'm very disappointed in him. But, you know, even though he's the best player on the team right now, your leader of the team doesn't have to be the best player on the team. It could be, you know, mm-hmm. It could be somebody else. True. We've seen it in championship teams before. Like Dave mentioned before, you want a veteran guy in the locker room who's kind of been there and done that, who could kind of like, you know, get the guys together through experience and tell them what's going on. Unfortunately, the Bulls don't have that. They're young. Ingram, man, I don't know. I have like Ingram and LaVine kind of like talent-wise on the same kind of level. And Ingram's not going out and dropping 25 a game. You know, I like Ingram a lot. I'm not that crazy high on him over LaVine at all. And I'm just not as disappointed as you are, LaVine, where I want to trade him. It sucks that he did that. I think it's kind of crazy that no one kind of like talking about the players. Everyone's on boiling in the front office. I'm like,
yeah,
you got players on the team that want to go to practice after a 50-point blowout. That's crazy to me. This is very disappointing. Very disappointing. But remember, you have guys on the team who did want to practice, not everyone. You know, I'm pretty sure there were guys who did want to practice, like Markman, some vets. So those guys may rise up as your leaders on the team.
Just let me, the follow up on this point is I've had a lot of people say, well, you really turned on LaVine quick, or you lost your faith in LaVine. And my counter is how can you not have lost a little bit of faith in LaVine? See, the issue on the whole thing isn't so much that he suggested we don't show up for practice, as awful that is. It's the point that you threaten to fine a player who none of those guys make anywhere near as much money as he does. And if they mispractice, there would be ramifications for that, as in a fine. You're taking money out of the pocket of your teammates. It's so short-sighted and so selfish. It's disgusting. And on top of that, how is anybody not talking about how he injured his ankle? They're down by six. There's 6 or 8 seconds left. And instead of taking a three, which is our only hope, that you hit a three, somehow steal the inbounds pass a la Reggie Miller, then hit another three, he's going in for a dunk to like a showboat against in Mexico City against Orlando. Am I insane? Like, what? Why is that okay? You know, and then he hurts his ankle. What the heck is going on here, Dave?
Well, you're insane, Fred, but not on this point, though.
Okay, that's a lie. Well, let's get off of Zach before I get any more depressed, because I can't take any more. Dave, let's go on this one. Let's talk about Parker, because here's another issue people think I'm insane on.
Sure.
And I loved your last episode with Bulls Talk with the great Shinovsky and Kendall Gill. Why don't you expound a little bit on the points that you made on that show? Because I think this is one that most people think I'm insane on, but I think you bring some calm and clarity to this issue that is rarely heard. Let's get into that a bit. Share your thoughts on was it a good decision or not?
You mean to bench him or to sign him?
To bench him. Well, both. Why don't we talk a little bit about both?
To sign him, I had absolutely no problem with, because I didn't see how you could justify turning down young talent. Like, it just didn't make any sense to me. And a talent that could potentially drop, well, that has dropped 20 points in this league. That kind of stuff, you know, doesn't grow on trees. So I thought, like, yeah, why not bring him in here? He could provide some scoring. He could provide some rebounding. We know his defense is a total travesty. We understood that. But I understood that bringing him in here, though, I thought would help as far as, you know, offensively, because it's what Fred Hoiberg wanted to run. He was running offense. You know what I'm saying? It was a pace of space. He wanted to do this, you know, and those kind of things. So I'm like, okay, you bring another offensive guy in here, and let's see if he works. Because I was like, well, let me see if he works at the three. And I'm not saying anybody was wrong. That's never been my point. Everybody was right. Like, well, we don't know if he can fit at the three. We know his plus minus is horrible. We know his defense is horrific and all those other things. Yeah, all that is true. But the point we kept making was who do you want? Who do you want to bring in here? Who do you want to keep? Like, who? Like, point out somebody to us who was better than Jabari Parker that was available on the open market for the Chicago Bulls to have. I think the only problem people have, the main problem people have, is the money. Is the fact that, you know, he got $20 million and things like that. And they were right when he started. I mean, he had to play himself back into shape. You come in, he came in hot saying, I don't want to play defense. I don't get paid to play defense, or players don't get paid to play defense. You can't say that here in this city. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's never going to go over well. You know what I'm saying? With this kind of city and the guys. And you know how much we love grit, a la Kirk Heinrich. And Archie Diacono. Like, you know how much we love grit here. And he came in saying that. He came in with the fat contract, so he already put the Bulls out on his back. So when he came in out of shape, when they told him, and when he ran the three with them in preseason a little bit, and it didn't look right, and they sat him, like, all these things look bad. But I was like, and Chris and I would discuss this a lot. We would say, okay, well, I guess he's going to have to play himself back into shape, which we've seen, I don't know how many NBA players do, come in out of shape and play themselves back into shape because it's an 82-game season. And he, in the last 9 games, I believe, before Hoiberg got fired, Jabari was averaging 28-9. So he was getting to a point where he was already your second-best scorer, but he was also your leading rebounder. So you needed that guy out on the court. Kendall Gill made a point to me. He said he'd never seen anything like what they did to Jabari Parker. He said, I've never seen a team take the second-best scorer and say, okay, you're just not going to play anymore. Like,
yeah,
that, he's
23.
Like, right. Never seen that before. Like, and that said a lot to me. Somebody, you know, who has played in the league and is looking at it and is like, dude, this is foreign to me. So Jabari Parker, I didn't mind the signing. I still don't mind the signing because it was a one-year deal. I don't know why people freaking out over one-year deals. You want to get mad at a deal, get mad at the fact you got to still look at Felicio and you still got to look at Cameron Payne.
Yes.
That's what I get mad at, because we know they're trash. And we got to look at them for another year because nobody is going to take them. The Bulls picked up that option on Cameron Payne for some ungodly reason. So that's what I understand. That's why I wasn't mad at it, because if it doesn't work out, he's gone. And you don't have to worry about it. The money doesn't hurt you. It didn't hurt anything. Like, it was just a guy you brought in you thought could help your team. And let's see if he can. Oh, he didn't. Okay, well, you know, we'll get him out of here. And no sweat off the back and everything. You know, it's not like you're 6-what? You know what I'm saying? Like, you're 6-23. Like, why not bring in talent and see, and try and see if it works or not, when the team that obviously is, you know, kind of bad right now. And taking them out, I mean, it didn't make your team better. You know what I'm saying? Nothing's going to make your team better because you're a bad basketball team right now. So, yeah, I have no problem with Jabari Parker. Of course, his defense was atrocious and things like that. But, I mean, I had no problem with him. He won a game for us actually on defense, and people don't like saying that. Don't like me bringing that up to him when he won on a block shot. But, yeah, I like Jabari. I have no problem with him. I wish him all the best going forward.
Keith, I know you probably want to counter with your arguments of why it was a mistake.
Well, I would say initially I hated the contract, and I hated it for the obvious reasons of our deepest position was power forward, and I didn't think Jabari was a small forward. But I would like to point out, even though I hated the deal initially, on July 13th is when Denver executed the trade with Brooklyn to send a first-round pick, protected, top 12, and a second-round pick to the Nets, essentially in a salary cap dump for Darrell Arthur and Kenneth Reed. The Bulls signed Jabari Parker the next day, on the 14th. And the Melo deal that happened with the Hawks happened on the 19th. Bulls waived David Nwaba the morning before they signed Jabari, and looking back at it now, accompanied by a comment of Albert Namad that does a lot of cap work on Twitter, he posted something saying that the Bulls were $430,000 short of being able to swap Melo and Felicio in a deal. You know, the Bulls would have taken Melo, just bought him out, sent him on his way, and they would have been able to get Felicio off the books. Obviously, OKC and Presti were able to find a deal that was able to send Melo for Dennis Schroeder, who has had moments where he's looked like a potential sixth man this year for that team. So I think we could say that that deal for OKC made a lot more sense than taking on Felicio, as well as the fact that although the Denver deal did happen, it's quite possible Denver didn't want to deal with the Bulls. The Bulls could have worked there, but that was only one scenario. So to the benching now, I think we're kind of giving a little too much credit on the top two scorer because we were down Markkanen, Dunn, Portis in that scenario. So when they come back, he probably wouldn't remain the top two scorer, but dropping that scoring out of the rotation completely and seeing that we don't have a trade done at this point today is kind of baffling outside of the defensive situation.
C-Dub, love to get your take on what you've heard here.
Yeah, you know, for Jabari Parker, I had no problem at all with the signing. I echo, just don't see what Dave said, you know, about, you know, young talent, being a man. What I don't understand is, and I'm glad, you know, you're on here, man, because I did a post on Twitter. I just want to know what the hell was their alternative, because number one, the Bulls have a lot of money to use. You know, it's not your, like, people act like $20 million comes out their paycheck to pay Jabari Parker. I'm like, it doesn't come out your paycheck. It's the Bulls' money to spend. Like, it's, you know, it's not like it's taking money from you as a fan to pay Jabari Parker. It's the NBA, sometimes with the market, you have to pay players. Because it's that's the money that's sitting there. Now, you brought up the fact that, you know, about the potential, you know, first round top 12 pick. And I know Dave and I were talking about, was Jabari Parker, before he came to the Bulls, is he better than a top 12 first round pick that you don't know you're going to get? And I would say, well, yeah. And I'll take that chance. And that's all it is. It's all it is. It's like this personal, it's like this $20 million thing that just really annoys people. Mm-hmm. It just annoys people. And you cannot tell me that you'd rather have Nwaba on your team than Jabari Parker. You know, what some people have said.
Like, bro, he didn't even score tonight.
Yeah. I don't even mention his name.
He's shooting 22% from three.
Like,
yeah.
So I understand he sucks on defense and all that. But I don't understand the anger towards him, the organization for signing him. To me, I understand the signing. I understand it. You know what I'm saying? I could not get so emotional about the signing. As far as him being benched, I don't know. That's weird. I don't know. I don't know if they're afraid the guy's going to get injured. I don't know why they want to showcase him or whatnot. I have no idea. And as far as, you know, pushback against the scoring thing, I don't know if the Portis would always outscore. Depending on minutes, you know, like you mentioned before, there's hard to find minutes for the power forwards on the team. You know, with Ryan Parker, can't play small forward. But if he plays minutes, he's going to outscore Portis. But it's a matter of what you sacrifice. Do you want more offense or do you want more defense? But it was encouraging when Boylan came in that he was playing defense, that he had a coach, Fred Hoiberg, who you could kind of run over a little bit, he lollygagged. But with Boylan, Parker looked engaged more on defense. And that was there. That was there. It was obvious. Offense was coming along, and he was starting to be more engaged in defense. And then you just bench him. It's kind of weird. I don't know. But that's my point.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many points on this Jabari Parker thing I'd like to start out with. Let's just start out with the first quote that everybody jumped on him for, which is where he said there, here's his actual quote. I don't know. I just stick to my strengths. Look at everybody in the league. They don't play players that play defense. I'm not going to say that I won't, but to say that it's a weakness is like saying that everybody's weakness. I've scored 30s and 20s off of guys who say they try to play great defense, end quote. His intent or point was to tell a truth that guys who are offensively minded get paid and guys who are defensive minded don't. That's a fact. His intent wasn't to say, I'm not going to play defense. But everybody jumped on the quote and tried to portray it as that was his intent. He simply pointed out a fact that LaVine and Curry and Harden are making millions while David Nawab is making $2 million or less. Guys who score get paid. End quote. I mean, it drives me nuts that it's been somehow changed to that he doesn't want to play defense. That's not what he said. That said, so that we got off to the wrong foot there. He should have been a little bit more clear with that. But that said, too, we didn't really need the press and the fans jumping on it, like saying that he's saying I'm not going to play defense, because that's not what he said.
But not what he said, but what he did was not play defense, though. I agree with you.
Well, that's true. Yeah, he's not a great defender. He's not a great defender, but there's a lot of offensive players. Either Zach LaVine, but he seems to be beloved in this town. I don't get it. There's a lot of guys that are just as bad as Jabari Parker. Maybe not just as bad, but they're in the ballpark of bad. And so then you're right. And I countered with some of these guys. Hey, listen, all you guys are saying, what should they have done? You know, Mark from Australia comes back with Wayne Ellington, 31-year-old Wayne Ellington or Shabazz Napier. He's shooting 37%. Give me a break. Really? Okay, whatever. You know, that I invalidated that. The best argument is what Keith said. Well, they could have done the Denver deal. Number one, we don't know for sure that was ever offered to Bulls, that was on the table. But let's say it was. Top 12 protected, as you pointed out. How many guys at 13 or 14 are better than Jabari Parker? Scoring 21 plus, averaging 21 plus for, or 20 over 20 for 51 games before his second ACL tear. The whole reason we were able to get him was because of those ACL tears. It's so stupid, and everybody's upset about it.
The counter to that, Fred, would be we're going to lose Jabari for probably close to nothing now. A draft pick is a controlled contract. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we have yet to see the return that we get, but if we had gotten a draft pick, that draft pick was going to be on a low budget salary. You get a potential of getting a steal, and then you have the control of that player's contract throughout their career.
Yeah, but Keith, I'd also counter it's still a salary. It's still a salary. If you were trying to save up as much money as possible to get a free agent and you want to clear as much cap space as possible, it's still an actual salary. Whereas if you cut Jabari, you open up all 100% of that space.
It's all risk and reward. We know the Bulls have money. You know, it's all, you know, they took a risk thinking that Jabari would Parker pan out. And look, he may not get traded. You know,
well, that's inexcusable.
That
would be crazy. The Bulls are having, he may be on the team. He may Jabari go back out there on the court and play. It may play well. I don't know. And
I don't know. They just called somebody up from the G League and told him to stay at his hotel room. So I don't know.
Well, he was the 13th person that got sick from Mexico City. So I don't know what was going on in Mexico City, man. But he was the 13th.
I believe it.
Water. That's what happened.
Straight up, man. But yeah, went down to.
Well, the only way this Jabari Parker benching makes sense, it's on one thing alone, and that's if that they told his agents, go find a deal. Go find a deal, and then, you know, he's already proven he could stay healthy, and I think he's already proven he could score, so they're going to not risk an injury to make this happen. That's the only possible justification.
I just find it funny. I'm trying to imagine a world in which we didn't get Jabari Parker and we had the injuries. And then Jabari Parker was dropping 18 a game. And people have been like, oh, we could have got Jabari Parker, hometown hero, to drop 18 a game while Dunn is hurt and Marcus hurt. What are the Bulls doing? Why didn't they sign Parker? I don't get it.
And my thing also is kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. Because getting Jabari Parker, you saw what all the vitriol that came with it. But imagine if the Bulls didn't do anything. and didn't get anyone, man. Dude, they would never hear the end of that. Oh, you can't get anybody out here in free agency. Nobody wants to. Why didn't you do something? Especially with, like you said, those injuries happening, Chris. And they wouldn't have had anybody at the power for. Oh, my goodness, dude.
We had a first-round pick.
A aneurysm.
A first-round pick. And like, what's a first-round pick? We can't do anything. You know, it's just you don't know. And I'm for the risk. I am.
Yeah, I'm for that risk. Yeah. It's a calculated risk. And
the Bulls have money. They have a ton of money. They're not paying anybody. I mean, they're like.
Exactly.
Let's go to five in salary.
Let's go to Bulls Twitter really quick, though, guys. I'm going to read you guys a Bulls tweet that I sent you earlier tonight from our friend at Ron AW, Coach Ron, Bulls NBA Buckets. And his quote was, watching the Spurs-Bulls game again, seeing Ryan, Archie, playing great defense. extremely physical for such a small guy. Can't remember the last time someone improved so much. A very high basketball IQ, period, end quote. And then here's my reply. Ryan had zero assists, zero field goals, zero boards in 23 minutes with a minus 24. You can't rage on Parker because after he scored 20 and then wax poetic about Ryan because he's quote-unquote physical. He doesn't play on an average team. With his highly limited skill set, Ryan needs to hit shots, and lately he's not. I just highlighted this because here's a guy who's advocated just cutting Parker, who's ripped on Parker day after day, and he's waxing poetic about Ryan Archinot in the NBA, who put up a 0-0-0 in 23 minutes.
RPM, though, Fred.
with the RPM, whatever. That's some of the most, and it's so hypocritical. You see it all over Bulls Twitter. Do you guys see this, or am I blind? I mean, are you guys reading the same things that I are? We're celebrating a guy like Ryan, whatever. This guy, he doesn't see the court on a good NBA team.
Well, first of all, on the Bulls outside, we call him Tiger Beat. That's Tiger.
The girls love him.
That's our guy.
Yeah, baby Kirk. Exactly.
Right. That's Tiger Beat, man. And we like Ryan Archidia. I was advocating for him coming into the season because I didn't see what Cam Payne did. That means that campaign needed to start over him. So it didn't make any sense to me. So when he got that opportunity to play, and he played well, I like what I saw. But I know what his limit was. You know what I'm saying? I know who he was, and I got exactly who he was, and I knew how far he could go. I wasn't thinking he was going to be turned into some great NBA starter, you know what I'm saying, that was going to save your team and save your season. No, he's a solid backup point guard and actually will be a solid guard on a team that's contending. He would be great for that. But to think that I didn't see him, you know, coming back down to earth is crazy. Like, yeah, I'm disappointed in all of what he's doing now. Like, the 0 points, and I don't care nothing about the effort. That's for teams that are winning. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I need points. I need scoring, man. I need a better – in a league where point guard is king right now, you can't have your – that's it. All I have is effort at that position and think you're about to win. But
amen.
Yeah, I like Archie. I have no issue at all with Archie, and I want to continue to see him over Cameron Payne every day of my life. But look who I'm telling you I want to see him over is what I'm saying. That's all. Like I know his limitations, and I get it. And, yeah, we don't need to put him on no pedestal or nothing like that. But, again, I saw this coming. Chris, do you remember when they signed him and I saw him sitting on the bench and I said, there's the Bulls' new favorite player right there?
Oh, yeah.
As soon as we looked at him, we was like, that's him right there. I was like, if he comes out and he just plays okay, he's going to be a legend in this city. And sure enough, he came out, he played okay, and you get, you know, what you just read, Fred.
C-Dub, what do you think? We'll get to you, Keith, after this.
Oh, I man, look, you're pointing out the basketball NBA fanatic logic on Twitter, which makes no sense at all. You know, I'm looking at Felicia's contract. Right now on my computer, it's $8 million, $8 million, and $7 million, 2021.
Please don't say that while I'm drinking wine.
No one says anything. Like, he's now the white flag. But yet, Horbert played him for God knows why. And no one says, I don't, and there are people yet, bitch, about Jabari.
Yeah.
You know, Holiday, 0 for 10, whatever, and gets tossed around on defense. But no one says anything about that.
Yep.
You know, Asciato going 0 for whatever. It's okay. It's okay, Levine, to turn the ball over 6 times in a game, you know, not play defense. He can't get 2 steals a game, you know. But, you know, yet when Parker has a triple-double on TV, I watch people criticize defense. I'm like, he's the best player. So Yes, there is a hypocrisy, surprise, surprise, on Twitter involving, you know, fandom and basketball. It is very weird, but that's why Dave and I and us, we have shows, right, Keith? Why we have shows to make sure if we're sane, and you're calling us, Fred, to say, hey, am I crazy? And I'm and Fred, I would tell you, you're not crazy, you're sane.
Thank you. Keith, please side with us on this one.
I'd say that the amount of crazy tweets that have come out of Bulls Twitter the last few weeks is pretty ridiculous between what you just stated. Ron also saying he'd rather have the Miami Heat's roster and cap situation than the Bulls.
What?
He did.
There's a lot of stuff going on, and they will not touch Felicio's contract because there is posts littered through Twitter of prominent Bulls Twitter people saying that Felicio should have got, you know, like $9 or $10 million. This was a good deal. This was a fair deal. Wow. This was great. The Bulls were actually worried about losing Felicio. They were anxious. They were scared. And the whole offseason that we signed Felicio, I was just like, can we sign Prima off the summer league team to a minimum and not sign Felicio?
Right, right.
Yeah. Like, Rondo and Wade made Felicio, and Stacey King made him with his El Toro call, and Bulls fans ate it up, and then they gave him $32 million. So there's a lot of hypocrisy on Bulls Twitter, and a lot of it revolves around things you've said in the past. So when the Bulls get a good draft pick, watch for the Twitter feed of a lot of people to be jumping into Lake Michigan, because it ain't going to be good.
Well, let me just jump in on Ryan, because I'm going to differ a little bit what was said here. I don't think the guy is an NBA player if he can't hit shots. I don't think if you have that skill set, if you're that small and that slow, I don't care how tough you are. That's why he was playing well earlier this year. He was shooting 48% and 44 from three. In the last nine games, he's shooting 33-20. That's not going to cut it. He's not good enough to be in the NBA unless he can hit shots, period. And so if he keeps on going on this road, I don't care how many dumb arguments I get with Coach Ron, who later on said, I'm going to read exactly what he said. I said he improved. He should be an NBA backup point guard, not starting against Russell Westbrook. That was the problem last night. Regardless, he's a much better player than Jabari Parker. And that's what he said. That's what he said.
Friend.
Yeah.
He's a friend. What I tell you, if you have people say dumb stuff, stop listening.
Well, listen, I would love to just exactly. I'd love to see Ron, Coach Ron, put his money where his mouth is. Like, let's put it down, 2-on-2. Me and Jabari Parker versus him and Ryan Archie, not in the NBA. If that's what he truly believes, because we would destroy that guy all day. Because that's insane.
You don't think he belongs in the league like at all? Like, he wouldn't be on any kind of team?
He was advocating
him on the Spurs. I for real could see him on the Spurs.
Oh, Ryan Archie not in the NBA? No, not if he keeps on shooting like this. To me, that's the whole thing. Like, if nobody pays attention to him on the court. That's why he was doing so well, because every shot he took, there was nobody within 6 feet of him. But once you start getting a reputation and the word starts getting around what you bring to the league, I know he's solid, I know he's smart, and I know he's not going to turn the ball over. That's all fine and dandy. But he's not quick enough, tall enough, or athletic enough to be in the league if he's not hitting shots. So I really believe that. Like, he did not shoot the ball well last year, and he did not shoot the ball well for the last nine games. Now, he's probably somewhere in the middle here, but I don't think he doesn't even come close to the court for a good team. That's my opinion. I'm hated for this, but, you know, I also like Parker.
Great, Fred. You're not crazy.
All I know is that when you say that, then I go, Cameron Payne is in the league, and the Bulls actually wanted him.
Right.
GMs that do crazy stuff. And
No doubt. Let's go a little bit into what you guys feel are the next steps for this team. Like, what should we do in terms of, you know, are we going to tank going forward here? Also, I want to get your opinion on Dunn, who I find immensely frustrating. I love his defense. He has a great night like he does against San Antonio. Do you think this guy is your point guard for the future, or are you looking for an upgrade in the draft going forward? Let's start with UC Dub, then we'll go to Big Dave. We'll finish up with Keith.
As far as for the future for the team, I'm still trying to see if we have a superstar, because you can't win anything without a superstar. And if that guy Levine is in marketing, you know, I'm holding out hope it's marketing. Right now, what he's showing me, you know, I don't know. Maybe in year two, another year or two, he'll snap and he'll become a more better scorer, more confident, you know, on the floor with his shots and his ball handling. But that's what we need to see. If these play, if Markkanen is a superstar, and he wasn't drafted number one, it's not like, you know, he was expected to be superstar, you know, when he got drafted. But if we kind of act like he's supposed to be a superstar, but he's kind of not where he where he was drafted. LaVine, is he a superstar? You don't know. If those two guys are not your superstars going forward, you can't win a championship. You need to bring in a free agent, you know, AD, something to check it up. You cannot go years being in basketball hell, which is something Paxson and Garth Foreman have done for a good team without a real clear superstar, you know, their role situation, you know, whatever. But that's nice and dandy. We've seen that before. There's a good team at, you know, get bounced out the playoffs or the first, second round. We've seen that before. I don't want to see it. So I just pray that Markkanen becomes a superstar. Please hurry up.
Amen.
Yeah. I mean, Chris knows it. I'm all in on Laurie, but he's now on what I call the Dirk diet. And what I mean is, like, Dirk Nowitzki is one of my top five favorite players, period. But Chris knows that I was extra hard on Dirk for years and years and years and years. Nothing he did was good enough. He would score 30, and I'll tell Chris he should have had 45. And when he won MVP, I was like, so what? He went out in the first round. Like, none of that stuff mattered until it clicked for him. And in Phoenix, in that game in Phoenix when he dropped 50 in the playoffs, that's what I wanted, because I looked at him and I knew that he couldn't be stopped. Like, there was nothing stopping him but him. That's kind of how I look at Laurie when I look at him. Is he going to get to a point where he realizes that no one can stop him but him? This dude, three-point shot is like pure water. Like, it's ridiculous. But when I watch him get the ball on the post on a guard, and a guard bodies him out of the post, pushes him to the baseline, and makes him carry. I don't know when the last time you've seen carry call in the NBA. They don't even call traveling, and they call a carry on this dude. And my guard, Bogdanović on Sacramento, pushed him out of the post and said, go to the baseline, go home. You're too small. And then all I heard about was, you know, we talked about the magical weight gain and the 15 pounds of muscle he put on and all these other things. And I know he probably lost some of that, you know, because of the elbow injury.
Yeah.
But still, in fact, you're 7 feet tall and guards shouldn't be pushing you out of the post. I need him to get better at those things. Chris is right. You want to see it happen. You want to see it happen fast, you know, for your sake as a fan. But I think it's going to take some time. But what I am encouraged by is the fact that when I'm not happy with his game and I'm mad at him like I was the last game he had, he still had 16 and 15. So I'm like, even on a bad night, you give me 16 and 15. Okay, I need you to give me 30. I'm tired of him not getting 20 shots. That's really bothering me. I'm tired of him getting 17 shots and that's it. Like, I don't need you to do that. I need you to have the ball, especially with LaVine not out there. I need you to have the ball. So I need him to get more aggressive. You know, there's so many things I need him to do. And again, it's year two for Laurie Markkanen. So I got time to get it together. But Chris hit everything. Everything Chris said hit it right on the head, man. We don't want to go in basketball hell. If you traded Jimmy Butler away and said, this is our core. And if we're not going to win with this core, we're in deep trouble. Now, we definitely have the draft left, you know, because obviously this season is a wrap. Like, let's just call it what it is. It's over. So now we're playing for draft position. And this is kind of, for me, I guess this, I would hope this is the last shot. I don't want to go through another season of this. You know what I'm saying? Like, absolutely. I want to go through a season of some progress, because even last year was encouraging when they were losing, because I saw some progress on some players. Even campaign played well in the second half of the season. Like, I just wanted to see some progress, and we've seen nothing but regression this year. And that's why I'm so disappointing. So going forward, I'm hoping Laurie is our guy, and I'm hoping he's the superstar that I see him to be in the future, and Zach LaVine being that number two on our team. And, yeah, you just have to hope for the best. But, no, it doesn't look good right now at all.
Keith?
I think going forward, I'm probably more positive than most. I kind of take a step back and look at this. We're a year and a third of a season into this. And I look at our core and I look where we're headed and what we're likely going to get in the draft. And I don't see a better situation being built outside of contenders that are already contenders in the NBA. So I hold a good amount of hope there. And on the Dunn front, I think we need to see him in LaVine. We have not seen that consistently enough, and I think that is part of the major intrigue with Chris Dunn being the fixture at point guard for this team, is if Zach LaVine is going to be the fixture at shooting guard, you want a defensive guard. So I think a lot of Chris Dunn's future depends on how well him and Zach LaVine can play together, because as we already established earlier in this show, Zach LaVine has a guaranteed contract and a trade veto. So if he doesn't want to get out of here, he is going to make himself stay here. Mm-hmm. And then we have to figure out what's going to happen out around.
Yeah, it would be nice if we could see Dunn, LaVine, and Markkanen play well together for a quarter, let alone a game. I mean, I've been so disappointed with those three, how they've played together. I know it's very limited time, but I can't really recall a game where I thought all three played well together. And
there's only been 14 of them to recall.
Yeah. But even so, though, those 14, really think about it. The stats show this. They're not playing well together. And, you know, this has got to be figured out somehow, some way. And, you know, I feel we got a piece in Wendell Carter Jr., obviously Markkanen, and we're going to get hopefully another high pick. But I agree, Dave. Like, I do not want to go through this again, Chris. Do not want to go through this again another year. It makes no sense to make it like a 3-year process, so it better happen. Let's finish up with this one though. Boylan, is he going to be the head coach of the Chicago Bulls next year? And if not, do you feel like, hey, it's time for another front office, or are you still willing to give these guys a chance? Let's start out with you, Dave. For this, we'll go to C-Dub and then finish up with Keith.
Will he be the coach?
Yeah.
Oh man.
Prediction. Will he be the coach for opening day next year?
Oh, man, I'm going to say – I don't want to say yes, but I'm going to say yes. Do I want him to be? No. The front office should have been going years ago, Fred. Like, it's not just a this-year thing. This is a years-ago thing. They should have been out of here. But my thing is with Boylan, I keep saying it, as crazy as this whole fiasco has been, I still honestly don't know if he could coach. And just like Keith said, have you – seen Dunn, LaVine, and Markkanen for only 14 games, Fred. I can't really judge that. I can't judge you on 14 games, even though people love to judge, even though people, you know, have quick reactions because, you know, it's Twitter. I get it. Yeah. It's Twitter work, you know, things like that. But Jim Boylan has coached, what, like 5-6 games? I really don't know. But the things that he's done, you know, I hate it so much, that whole thing where he said the guys aren't in condition. And they needed more conditioning. Like, he wasn't sitting there watching this team for years. Like, he wasn't sitting here at the beginning of the year. Like, he saw this. And now you're like, oh, you know what they need? They need to be in shape. You know, like, how do you decide that then? It doesn't make any sense to me. I think that he lost faith in a lot of things with this team where those things usually get a coach fired, mm-hmm. The things that I saw him do. But knowing this front office and how it goes, like, I don't see them replacing him. I see them kind of going all in on him and giving him a whole nother year. I would definitely like another coach. Give me somebody different. I mean, give me Juwan Howard. I would like to stop the cycle of old white men coaching the Chicago Bulls and bring in somebody else.
Jerry Stackhouse.
Like somebody. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Give me some kind of change. And, yeah, now I would like to see that. But, yeah, I think he'll be here, but I don't want him to, though.
C-Dub.
Rachel aside.
Chris, Bill Cartwright. That's it.
Yeah, he's coach's career. But I think he'll be here, first of all. I think the front office will be here forever. Of course, the Boylan will be here. Also because, you know, he's cheap and he really would do pretty much anything the front office tells him to do. He has the full support in the front office. He feels emboldened. And I think you just need to give him. I don't know who coaches. Dave and I were talking about, we're trying to figure out what coaches are out there. And just like 2 days ago, someone mentioned Juwan Howard. Yeah. I hear about Stackhouse, but that's about it.
I love Stackhouse. Yeah.
You know, okay, so I don't watch him coach. I don't know. I like him as a player.
Yeah.
But you know, he's going to be here. He's going to be here. This team so far has responded to him. I do see more effort. I do see the fact they are more competitive. You know, last couple of games, he's gave guys high fives. The guys don't seem to like stay away from him. So I think guys like him a little more. So he came on kind of strong. that we see what happens going forward. Especially, we all know when the talent gets back on the floor together with teams, this, at some point, every team starts playing well.
Right.
You know, when they get healthier. You know, and then we'll see where it goes from there. I wouldn't give them a chance with the teams healthy, and we had a little run with the teams healthy and they get a little roll, and we see how you handle success and how the team looks. Most of the effort there, I'm kind of happy. But what's out there as coaching-wise in the future, I have no idea. I don't know.
Keith?
I don't think he's here. I think he's an interim coach with a title that was needed to be given a title because the team wasn't respecting their last head coach. I also think that's probably why the front office, you know, let their Rottweiler off the leash and just sent them in there and said, hey, go screw with these guys. Let's see who's made of what. Let's see who, you know, fights back and who, you know, just listens. So I think a lot of this is a test. I do think they'll be looking for a new coach. A lot of the optics of this signing and how it all played out in the beginning just aren't good. And they already got enough stuff in their back pocket to fire him tomorrow if they wanted, but they don't want to pay a third coach for the year, so they'll wait till the offseason and actually do a legitimate coaching search, in my opinion.
Yeah, and that's the thing also, though, that they don't like coaches. They usually don't hire coaches with experience either. So bringing in a Stackhouse or a Juwan Howard or someone like that would be good. It plays to that. It plays to, you know, what the Bulls have done in the past.
I'm on record, though, saying this is, to me, if this guy doesn't work out, that should be it for this group. And very few people believe in John Paxson more than I do. I think he's an elite judge of talent. I think he's drafted, obviously, three All-NBA players. There's only four front offices who have done that are in existence now. And I'm entirely confident that whoever he picks in this next draft is going to be a homer. But it's just been a long time. And, you know, if this does not work out, this season has not at all unfolded the way I expected it to be, I think it's time we try something else. I will say I think it's unlikely that whoever comes in is going to do a better job. There are restrictions on this front office, you know, set by the ownership, and that's not going to change because it's not going to be a new owner for a long time. And, you know, but I do feel like, hey, if this coach doesn't work out, it's probably best we go in another direction. I do believe we'll see that. I don't think if things keep on going down this road, I do think they will make a change. They eventually did with Krause, and I thought he had the job for life. And, you know, he actually had at least some accomplishments, you know, all due to Jordan, of course, but he did have, you know, titles.
He did.
What do we have? You know, really? Cool. And I know we were robbed of it due to the injuries of Rose and Noah, but regardless, you know, this is really bad. And it better get better quick, too. Like, I better start seeing these guys start playing together. Like, Laurie, I thought he had top 10 talent. I've lost some faith in Laurie since he's come back. I know it's a little bit too early, but
Fred, come on, man. It's so early, bro. Like,
Dave, come on. I know, but, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's just the fit or what. He just hasn't played, shot it as well as I expected. I know it's still early, and I know so it should calm down, but I am a little concerned that maybe he doesn't have top 10. I've lost faith in all these guys. I have.
Fred, you've gone so crazy, man, to the point where the biggest John Paxson supporter that I know that actually kind of flipped me when I first came to Twitter is now telling me that John Paxson is going to get fired after he turned Jimmy Butler into Zach LaVine, Chris Dunn, Laurie Markkanen, Wendell Carter Jr., and probably a top five pick this year.
Right,
you think
right.
That man's losing his job?
No, let's take a step back. I do feel like we're going to turn around. I think the team's going to be very good next year. But I don't think you can just be blind to the fact that these guys have not played well. They're always hurt. That's also something that we got to maybe say, hey, maybe these guys are injury prone. And that's something it's hard to fix, right? I mean, Dunn's hurt every 5 minutes. And so's LaVine. So's that's not good either. You know, we've seen this movie before.
Well, okay. So next year. So we haven't talked about this a lot, but like free agency, like, do you think the Bulls will make a splash next year? Free agency, like,
no, nobody's coming here when they're 40. When you got, the only way I felt that was a possibility, like when we got Wallace, like when we got Gasol, those teams were competitive and they were one player away or two players away. At the time, people thought the Bulls were a title contender. That's why Kobe was talking about coming here when they signed Wallace. And Wallace, regardless of what people say, was the number one free agent in that class, and Gasol was the number two free agent. Those were huge signings. Those teams that he joined, though, were very good. This is the tire fire. Nobody's signing here. My hope is, and I put this out on Twitter, and I'd like to hear what you guys think about this. You'd have to overpay for a guy. And that's and a guy like I threw out there was Middleton. Like, offer him a max. Would you be up for that?
No. We need to start a super. I mean, the day. I'm sorry, I just called Dave the friend. Yeah.
So you would say no to that idea?
Oh no, I like Middleton a lot, but he's not a superstar though.
No, I agree, but that's what you have to do. I mean, in order to
get wheels. And you're right. It's unfortunate that that's what you have to do. Like Benjamin Wallace. I like Ben Wallace, but I knew he wasn't going to win the championship with the Bulls. And I knew it, but he was out there. He was the only one out there. Like Jabari Parker. He's out there, money to spend. Who else you going to get? Let me know. It's unfortunate, but.
Dave, what do you think? Middleton. Max deal.
I like Middleton a lot. I really do. He's great. But what you're doing is bringing in another number two. Yes. And
yep.
I don't want to bring in another number two. I need a one. I need somebody that's a star. And I mean, Middleton's so nice, man. Like, I really like his game. I think it's underrated. I know Chris hates that word, but I really do think that he is. He's not talked about enough, in my opinion. Well, obviously, because you know you got Greek Freak there. But whew, man, like bringing him in for real, like you're bringing in another number two dude. And I just don't know if I want to do that. Bring in a whole another number two and then see how it goes. I want to see how this draft goes. And see what we get in that and things like that. But, no, man, if Middleton is the only one left and that's what we got to do, then I guess, I mean, that's up to them. They'll make that decision. They'll do what they got to do.
But you'll be stuck with him, though. That's the issue.
But you'll be stuck, yeah. And Bulls don't, like, Bulls pay people to go away, usually. You know what I'm saying? Like,
this is so depressing.
Yes, that's usually how it goes.
Bulls pay people to go away. I mean, that's our motto. I love it. I love it.
Excuse me, I go.
Keith, what do you say? Middleton, Max Steele, yes or no?
I would play the same game that the Kings played with LaVine and us, with the Bucks and Middleton. I'd throw them an offer that, you know, isn't quite enough to scare them away. And if it does scare them away, you're not feeling stuck with the contract because it's at least still somewhat movable. You haven't maxed yourself out, and now you just stole an asset. Or you force the Milwaukee Bucks to overpay somebody, and now they can't make future improvements, and you're staring at Giannis Antetokounmpo in 2021 coming into free agency because, like AD, they can't do what he wants, and that's win and build his name.
Mm-hmm.
But on the free agency front as a whole, I didn't think anybody was coming here anyway. KD might be the only one that's actually moving, and I didn't think we were going to land KD without another top prospect in a good season. So I'm not losing too much sleep over that.
I will say, though, done. LaVine, Middleton, Lowry, Wendell Carter Jr., and whatever this number one pick is. That's six?
No, it's a good team.
That's pretty darn good.
No, but that's the issue, though. We've seen good.
We ain't talking. Right. Go ahead.
And I felt out there'd be fun to watch. I like Middleton a lot. They'd be fun to watch. And, yay, they won't win the championship.
Well, it depends how good the draft pick.
They get in the draft.
Yeah.
You never know.
What happens against Zion?
That's 2 years down. That's like 5 years down the road, then, right? Because it takes years to get better. He's not going to be MVP as a rookie.
The timeline we set ourselves up on is 5 years, three to 5 years down the road, and that was the plan. We didn't
start messing
around with Golden State. We wanted to be peaking as Golden State was on the downfall.
Correct.
We got to speed that up because that's not how my mantra goes. But we can't. It's going to screw up my mantra. It's
Fred,
not
so. Mantra's already been adjusted. Dude. Yeah, so, Fred. Sorry. There's room. There's wiggle room there, Fred.
Always room for adjustment. Fred.
Exactly. Always room for that. Oh, guys.
There's another guy. Come on with something else.
Yeah. Hey, guys. I can't thank you guys enough for all the time you've given. One last question before we go, and then we'll wrap this up. NBA question. Will Golden State win the title this year? Let's give a round robin. And who are they going to play out of the East? Start with you, C-Dub. Go to Big Dave. Then finish off with Keith.
Ooh, I would say yes, they will win because they have the best players. Barring injury, of course. Now that they are. Who are they playing? I would have to say I think it's between Boston and Toronto. Kyrie always gets hurt. They're good. But Kawhi Leonard gets hurt too. He's very good. Between those two, I don't know. Boston and Toronto, one of them.
Pick one.
Yeah, come on, step off.
I'm trying to figure out who's going to be hurt. I'll pick Boston because Kyrie seems to be kind of healthy now, and they've actually improve their depth with the, you know, getting healthier this year. So I got Boston.
Big D.
Yeah, Golden State's going again, no doubt about it. In my head, it is. I mean, to be the man, you got to beat the man. Shout out to Ric Flair. but coming out of the East, I got Toronto. Only because I've always wanted to pick Toronto, but I've never believed in Toronto ever. And this is the first year I actually believe in Toronto and what I'm seeing. They just look different to me. And, wow, of course, it's Kawhi Leonard is the reason. Of course, he's the reason. Yeah, but, you know, he also brought a certain kind of toughness to them that was severely lacking. Like, you would see, like, when they would see certain teams and you could just see them kind of running away. You know what I mean? Like, we don't want to do this. But now when I see them play, they look tough. They're a tough-minded team, man. They play much differently up there. So I've always wanted to pick them. Never believed in them before. So now I'm going to pick Toronto to go to Golden State. In
the NBA. I brought my rule. Superstar versus superstar. Kawhi's a better player than Kyrie Irving. Ah,
he is. Man.
There you go. What about you, Keith?
Yeah, Golden State's winning again. I find all this chatter that we have every time around this year rather humorous, especially since Boogie has yet to hit the floor for them. and I think I'm also going to go with Toronto. I think Kawhi kind of puts them over the top, and I would also like to point out that DeMar DeRozan still cannot beat the Chicago Bulls.
Good stuff.
1-40.
Well, you guys are 100% right. It is the Raptors versus Golden State. Golden State's going to win. But the good news is this is the last year for Golden State because they're losing Durant. He's not re-signing there. Green's falling off a cliff talent-wise, shooting 30% from three. He's not the player he used to be. This is it for them, their last ride, and it's going to be all East.
You better hope it is because I swear – I mean, man, I don't know, man. But, yeah, okay.
I got to get one of these predictions right, Dave. I mean, gosh, I've been a disaster lately.
Keep shooting, Fred. You'll find out.
Keep shooting. That's right. Shoot or shoot, Fred.
There we go. I'm Ryan Archie, not in the NBA today. That's what I'm doing, prediction wise. Yes, sir. All right, guys. Hey, man, thanks for jumping on, C-Dub and Big Dave. Where can we find you guys?
You can check out our show, Ball on Bulls, B-A-W-L. On Bulls at our website, ballsports.com. You can see us on Twitter, at ballsports and at ballsports1. Chris is now on Twitter, so send all your vitriol and hate towards his way. we're also on Instagram at ballsports, B-A-W-L. You have to say it like Avery Johnson is saying it.
And, of course, Bulls Outsiders, Big D.
I'm loving you on there. And Bulls Outsiders. I do the show Bulls Outsiders. Yes, Matt Peck and John Sabine is who I do that show with. And it comes on after the Bulls postgame show with Mark, Will, and Kendall. And we're on after every postgame show. So check us out on NBC Sports Chicago or check us out on Facebook Live and send us comments. We'll read them on air about literally anything. Doesn't matter. Send it to us. We'll talk about it. And, yeah, enjoy the show.
And I'm a special guest January 12th. I can't
wait.
Yeah, I'm bringing the heat.
I can. I can't tell you how excited I am to watch how this goes down.
Barry's gonna be gone.
Right.
Oh man, a lot of people are telling me. A lot of people are saying by the time that game comes around, I'm gonna be like the exact. It's gonna be like Fred C. Red, or it's gonna be just
Red Fred.
They can just tell I'm moving the descent to the dark side. I want to be like bloggable by that time, but that's not gonna happen. I'm gonna bring positivity. I'm gonna bring belief. It's an honor to fill Peck's shoes and join you guys that night. So I'm looking forward to it, brother.
Yeah, we are too, man.
And thanks for the shout out on the Bulls on the Outsiders. I saw the background about it. You talked about how I sent you an email. I loved it. That was hilarious.
Man, come on, it's the truth, man. It's the truth. There's no me on that show without you, sir.
Well, hey, you are a superstar, and I'm glad people are finally getting a chance to see you because I love the show, C-Dub, and you guys are the best. I love the Ball Podcast. Anybody listen to this show, you got to listen to that one. So download that show.
And follow Keith on Bull Scripted, man.
There you go.
He's an awesome follow on Twitter. Add
Bull Scripted. There you go, Keith.
Man. He is an awesome follow, for real.
All right, guys. Hey, have a great evening. Thanks again and for the time, and I really appreciate it. And we got to talk again soon.
Yes, sir.
All right, guys.
Take it easy, boys.
Bye-bye. All right,
peace.